Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling,
and the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am your host, Brandon Dowling, along with Joe Blewett, as always. And man, oh man, if I thought we had hit rock bottom when we got on the air the Tuesday after the Jets got blown out in San Diego with Denver and New England looming, where we all sat here and said, where does this team go? Where does this team turn to? How are you going to turn around and play Peyton Manning and Tom Brady? You know, do they even have a chance in those football games? They played them well, and then you move forward and you go to a Buffalo game after a Thursday night. You have such a long time to prepare. I mean, you're talking about, I believe, 9 or 10 days to get ready for a divisional opponent. No running backs. Kyle Orton at the helm. The Jets are so desperate for a win. Favored in terms of the point spread. And, myself and Joe, we all go to the game on Sunday. Everybody's excited. Everybody's, still got your jerseys on. Everybody still has the slimmest hope you could possibly have, because you got that feeling. You got that feeling that the Jets are going to win today. Everybody picked the Jets to win. They said there's no way that this team, after the performance they had in New England, would go out and lose against Buffalo with no running backs and Kyle Orton at home, nonetheless. And I think the New York Jets might have put the worst performance at home I've ever seen as a paying customer going to MetLife Stadium. I mean, you start the game, everybody's ready to go, everybody's excited, and your offense looks more unprepared than a freshman football offense out there. This is the National Football League. You come out, you have 3 interceptions on your first 4 possessions. Everybody is booing you off the field at home. Your defense is playing their tails off, and they're doing well. And they're trying to keep you in the game. I mean, that first half could have been 35-0. It was one of the most disgusting performances I've ever seen, especially from a guy like Geno Smith. You have so much promise. You have so much, hope that a guy who you draft in the second round is in his second year, who, can maybe develop into something special, can maybe lead this football team. You go get Percy Harvin. You walk out onto that field. You got Chris Ivey, Percy Harvin, Jeremy Curley, Eric Decker, Jason Morrow. You got guys that can make plays. And what do? You embarrass yourself in front of 80,000 people. It was the most embarrassing performance I've seen from him. And I'll tell you right now, unless Michael Vick gets injured this year or play, because Michael Vick is just as bad or even worse, in my opinion, than Geno Smith. I think he has no business starting, but we'll get to that in a little later in the show. I think Geno Smith's career with the New York Jets is over, barring Michael Vick getting injured this year. I think he was put on the bench. I think he will stay on the bench. I don't see them going to him again this year, unless Michael Vick gets injured. And I don't think they're going to go to him next year. I think fans will pull their hair off their head if they watch Geno Smith come out there another year after what we've seen this year. It was an experiment. It was a disaster. We've hit below rock bottom. The game was a disaster. The offense was a disaster. And then you get John Idzik coming out with a longer speech than the State of the Union, an opening monologue of 20 minutes, telling us how we have a plan. We're consistent. We're inconsistent. We need to be consistent. I know the guys in this room work hard. I know the guys who turn on the sprinklers in the morning at Florham Park. They work hard to turn those sprinklers on. I know everybody out there is working hard. I know if we could just put it together, it's not translating on game days. Tell me something I don't know. How about you come out there and stop talking like a 5-4 general manager and you talk like a 1-7 general manager for a team that people sit at home and laugh at? An embarrassing product, an embarrassing office, an offense, and a plan that has spiraled to garbage. With that being said, Joe, how you doing today?
I'm doing awful, Brandon. That game reminded me of a lot of the Patriots Thanksgiving game. It was embarrassing. the fans were just, it looked like they got punched in the stomach there. It was bad. I went with my friends and along with you, and we were all positive before the game, and it was just awful. We've definitely hit rock bottom. Like you said before, I don't think it could get worse after the Chargers game, but that game was definitely worse. You have Geno, which I find funny that he completed more passes to Bills defenders than he did to Jets receivers. That was awful. You had Vic coming in looking like he's unprepared, throwing a pick, could have been two picks easily, fumbling the ball four times. You have Marty Morningweg after the first two interceptions coming out on first and second down, trying to give Geno put the ball in Geno's hands and throwing it on first and second down again, and then of course on second down he gets picked again. You have the Jets trying to force the ball to Percy Harvin. You have that terrible special teams play with T.J. Graham laying in the end zone, which is awful. Thank God that Percy Harvin has enough awareness not to throw the ball across the field, because that was just terrible. And it sucks, Brandon, because in the preseason, I know it's only the preseason, but you saw Geno going through his progressions and going to the check down if people aren't open, or even running the ball. But he was staring down receivers. He was trying to force the ball to Percy. The offensive line was atrocious. I think Nick Mangold was the only Jet who came away with a positive grade on Pro Football Focus out of that game. So it was awful. Again, we had six turnovers, which is embarrassing. We've only had three all year. This is going to be a very, very long and depressing show, Brandon.
I mean, it's just, where do you want to start, man? I mean, it's just, it's such a disaster that, first off, I don't understand, and I would love for somebody out there to explain it to me on Twitter, anywhere. There is absolutely no upside into starting Michael Vick going forward this year. I think it's a joke. I think Michael Vick proved to be as bad or worse, like I thought he was from the beginning, at turning the ball over, playing inconsistent, and being a turnover machine out there than Geno Smith. Yes, he didn't throw three on his first four possessions interceptions. That might have been the worst stretch I've ever seen in my life of watching football. I'm talking about freshman, college, high school, peewee, Pop Warner, whatever you want to call it. I thought that might have been the worst stretch of offense I've ever seen. But at a 1-7 football team, you have no idea what you have out there. Your team has officially hit below rock bottom, if that's possible. I would either let Geno Smith go out there and struggle, because there's nowhere to go but up. There's nowhere to go for Geno Smith but up. Or I would let a young guy like Matt Sims off the practice squad play quarterback. I would let him prove what he has. These two, Geno Smith and Michael Vick, might be the worst two quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Why not go to a guy like Matt Sims? Let him go out and play against the Chiefs. Let him show what he has. We've seen him play before. Obviously, when he came in the regular season, it was a disaster, and he was inefficient. But how could it get any worse than two quarterbacks in one game combining for six turnovers, Joe, in one game? That's just insanity. That's a team that is so unbalanced, so many issues, and it's an absolute joke. I mean, the game is what it is. The Jets are just not a good football team. They have no leadership on offense. They have no quarterback. You're going to hit the reset button on quarterback. Again, with Michael Vick being named the starter this week, I think Geno Smith's career in green, unless Vick gets hurt, which you have a 75% chance or higher of him getting hurt, Geno Smith's career as a Jets is over. I think it's done. And
yeah, yep.
And
it's about time to hang the cleats up for him. It's definitely over. I think it's safe to say that you can say Geno Smith's career with the Jets is over, especially if the Jets do decide to get a new head coach next year. There's no way they're going to go back to Geno Smith. But like you said about Vic, I think the only reason that he is starting is one, that John Izick and Rex Ryan are going to try to save their asses. They're going to try to put in a veteran and see what he can do. I think that he looked extremely unprepared the last two times he came in, so I think that with a week With the number ones, he might look a little bit better, which isn't going to be good at all. And I also think that if you do play a guy like Matt Sims, people are going to get on Isaac Moore. Why'd you sign this guy for $5 million if you're not even going to put him in when Geno struggles?
Well,
so
they did put him in, and he looked just as bad as Geno Smith, if not worse. See, I don't understand that, and I read that today. I'm like, well, you know, if they go to Geno Smith, they might lose their locker room, and, you know, Michael Vick did this. Michael Vick did nothing. Michael Vick went out there and embarrassed himself just like Geno Smith did. He put the ball on the ground all over the place. He was a fumble machine. He should have had another interception. It was just by the skin of his teeth he got that one taken away. I mean, the only time the Jets had success when Michael Vick was in there was when, A, he scrambled and got a 15 to 20-yard pickup, or when Chris Ivory was running the ball. That was it.
Yeah, no, I'm not too high on Michael Vick either, though, Brandon. I do think with a week with the number ones, he should be a little bit better. He looks completely unprepared, and I think that practicing with the twos and threes is definitely hurting him. I think a week with the ones should help him out at least a little bit.
I think that's such a cop-out, though. What is practicing? Practicing with what? There are no ones on this team. Who's he practicing with? You're telling me he doesn't go out there after he came in the Chargers game and he admitted to being unprepared. You're telling me that him coming out and having a good week of practice and flinging the ball in his visor to Eric Decker in Florham Park is going to make him come out and play a better football game on the road against Kansas City?
Oh yeah, no, definitely not. But you're not going to start Geno like you said before. They're going to lose the locker room if they do. All these veterans, they definitely are, Brandon. If you come out and start a guy who threw three interceptions in eight passes for 5 yards, I think you're going to lose the locker room. And
right,
after
well,
the game,
how do you, how do you start a guy who put the ball on the ground four times and almost who Michael Vick could have had a 6-turnover game himself alone.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. But even Geno's starting to lose guys like Willie Colon, who have been one of his biggest supporters throughout the last 2 years. No matter how bad Geno would do, Willie Colon would always say, oh, we believe in him, he's our quarterback. It was just a bad game, and now even Willie Colon is saying, oh, it's not my decision who to start. So I think if you're losing guys like Willie Colon and you're losing guys like Nick Mangold and people like that, I think that if you start Geno again, you are going to lose the locker room. You're going to lose free agents.
What are you gaining from starting Michael Vick? You're a 1-7 football team. Why wouldn't you try and see what you have on your team and see what type of – I mean, we keep coming back to this, but let your young quarterback show some type of resiliency for a 1-7 football team. What do you have to lose at this point?
But that's the point. I don't think that Geno Smith has anything to prove. I don't think that he's gonna be good enough. I don't think that if he played like Tom Brady the rest of the season, I'm exaggerating obviously a little bit, that he can even retain his job. So I don't think.
Yeah,
Geno,
but I just don't see the upside of Michael Vick starting. I just don't. There's no long term plan there.
No doubt about it. It's definitely them trying to save their asses a little bit. It's definitely them trying
But save what? He stinks. He's bad. What are you putting? You're putting out a product that sucks just as much. What are you saving?
I don't know. With the way that Geno played last game, I doubt that Vic would be as bad as Geno was last game. It was terrible.
He was in the Bills game. The only difference was that Geno Smith didn't have as many possessions to have almost as many turnovers as Michael Vick. Michael Vick could have had 6 alone. They both could have had 6 turnovers each. I mean, it's so embarrassing. It's embarrassing. The game was embarrassing. I mean, it's just the whole grand scheme of things, Joe, is absolutely embarrassing. And with that being said, let's move towards the topic which everybody wants to talk about. Everybody's been sounding off on it on JetNation.com in the forums. You got to check it out at JetNation.com if you want to keep talking Jets. There's no positive talk whatsoever. How can there be? But it's the John Idzik press conference. John Idzik addressed the media yesterday with a, you know, crazy opening monologue. I think it was 19 minutes or something like that. And he just went on and on. You know, I believe in the people in this room. I believe in our players. I believe in this. Well, if you believe if John Idzik is not full of garbage and full of baloney, if he truly believes in what he is sending out this year, then he should be personally walked to his car with his box of whatever personal stuff he has in the Jets facility, told to go home and never come back. How can you tell me you believe in these players? What do you believe in, John? You believe in a 1-7 football team? You believe in the product you put on the field that's absolutely a disgrace? What's so funny, Joe, is Sammy Watkins showboating that touchdown, right? Sammy Watkins, who, you know, was at the 20-yard line or so, and he decided to, you know, act like a fool and showboat. Who was playing defense that tracked him down to make that tackle?
It was Salim Hakeem, Brandon.
Okay. And what position does Salim Hakeem play?
Barely wide receiver, more on special teams, but as of right now, he's a receiver.
Okay. And where would you say he lies on the wide receiver depth chart? Probably fifth or sixth, right, with a kick return specialist?
Yeah, seventh.
Seventh, right? So you have a bottom-of-the-barrel wide receiver on your depth chart out there tracking down wide receivers. That's what we're watching. Now, is that Rex Ryan's fault? Are we going to go to the head coach? First off, I thought the defense played pretty well on Sunday. I thought the defense, for the positions that they were put in, from the worst offensive performance I might have ever seen, I thought they played pretty well. But the point of John Nitzick's press conference is he came out and decided to enlighten everybody. Well, you know, we've shown some good points where we've shown we can move the ball on offense. We scored 3 touchdowns on our first 3 possessions in Green Bay. We're not doing it consistently. We've shown that we have, you know, we can move the ball and have long drives. I think we're up in the league in 10 play drives. We're not doing it consistently. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you enlightening me that the Jets are inconsistent. Now, why don't you go ahead and tell me how you're going to fix a 1-7 mess with no quarterback, no offensive game plan going in the right direction, and a defense that we could go take Pascack Valley's cornerbacks in Passaic and bring them on to Florham Park, and they could probably start for the Jets. Where is that plan? Because then we heard John Idzik tell us, well, I've been a part of this plan before, and it's been very successful. No, John, you got the coffee for the guys that put the plan together that made it very successful. You've never built a football team before. So stop bringing up information that I've done this and I've done that. You have done nothing. You've done nothing. So go ahead, Joe.
It was almost embarrassing to watch. You see him not committing to Rex. It's basically like damage control. He talks about how he was defending the how he addressed the cornerback position, which is awful. You can't do that. The cornerback position is terrible. You can't rely on an injured D. Milner, a journeyman in Dimitri Patterson, and then a rookie out of the third round to hold down your cornerback position. And the thing that I took from it most is I'm starting to get really sick. I'm starting to get really sick of this whole play like a Jet mantra. It's pissing me off because the whole play like a Jet thing, like Mike, I hate this guy and you know I hate him, but Mike Francesa is saying play like a Jet, which I agree with him. What does it mean? Does it mean fumbling the ball? Does it mean throwing interceptions? Does it mean being inconsistent? Because we are terribly inconsistent. You see a first half or a first quarter like the Packers game where the defense looks great, the offense looks great, and then completely fall apart in the second half. It's inconsistent, and that's why it's pissing me off, because you see flashes of this good team or this decent team, and then we just play like garbage. And you can blame some of that on Rex. You can blame it on Idzik, but we really hit rock bottom right now, Brandon. That press conference was complete damage control. It was embarrassing. It was I could barely watch it. I was just the whole entire time I was shaking my head. But like you said about Hakeem, like it's sad when you go into a game against the Buffalo Bills, who we've pretty much been handling them every time at home for the last 3 years. Even when we had the depleted team of 2011, 2012, we were handling them pretty easily at home. And then you go out and you do that. And when we're talking about Salim Hakeem showing hustle to tackle Watkins, you know, as one of the positives from the game. You know, you had a really bad game, so right now we really can't go anywhere but up. I'm hoping that we show some heart in this game against the Chiefs. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we've hit rock bottom, and I think it's affecting our players. But I think Isaac just he went out there and he made himself look completely foolish.
I just don't understand what he's trying to say. I didn't grasp that. I thought the questions by the reporters were very nonchalant, and they were kind of more like in attack mode more than they were trying to get answers. I just think when I evaluate the Jets season, and this is my personal opinion, I just don't see how you fire the head coach. I mean, well, I see how you fire the head coach. Any team that goes 2-14, 3-13, or 4-12, even 5-11, you're going to get rid of your head coach. You know, you're going to usually fire everybody, start from the top, and work your way down. But you're looking at a product that is so poorly put together, and I'm sorry. I mean, I'm listening to John Idzik tell me about his plan. We're going to build through the draft. You know, I look at having cap as a good thing now because we have young players. If you're sitting here at 1-7, stop talking to me like this team has any upside right now. You have two upsides on this team right now. Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson. There's your upside. And you know, throw Chris Ivory in there because he's had a great year and it's gone under the radar because the team stinks. What other upside does this team have right now? Their offensive line has been just as inconsistent as their quarterback. One game they go out there, they throw the Patriots around like they're a high school team. The next game, Buffalo looks like the sack exchange. I mean, it's so inconsistent on the offensive line. The quarterback is they have the worst quarterback situation right now in the NFL, in my opinion. I think that is a disaster as well. No future there. They don't even know what they're doing with it right now. You're giving it to a guy like Michael Vick, who is god-awful, who, again, you're putting him out on the field twice now, and he has looked just as bad, if not worse, than your starting cornerback. That's a problem. Your running game has been inconsistent. One game you're rushing for 100 yards, one game you're rushing for 30 yards. Your cornerbacks are a complete disaster. You're watching special team players chasing down top wide receivers. It's a joke. There's no talent on this team. There's no talent to compete with anybody right now. And it starts – this is a live and die at the quarterback position football league. The teams that are at the top of this league have top quarterbacks. Could you imagine – look how bad Atlanta is right now. Could you imagine if the Jets had Matt Ryan at quarterback? Even with the roster they have right now? I mean, it's like, think about something like that. Like, if they had somebody who was somewhat competent at quarterback with a Rex Ryan-led defense who still, with no players, are putting up fights. Look where the Buffalo started their field position against the Jets in last week's game, and look how the defense stood tall. I just think overall it's a joke. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I believe they started inside of the Jets 50. I believe it was 5 times, so that's embarrassing. But I have to disagree that we definitely have pieces. I think that if there was a coach or a GM who came in here, you definitely see some positive pieces. You have close to $50 million in cap space. And you have guys like Chris Ivory, who is definitely a good runner. I know our offensive line is garbage, but Nick Mangold has been rated so far this season as the highest graded
center. But those are things that we know. What have they brought in? What have the New York Jets in the past 20 months? What have they brought in? Oh, let's say since John Idzik has started, what have they brought in that is a positive piece to the future of this team outside of Sheldon Richardson?
Okay, let me think. You said Sheldon Richardson.
That's a given.
Yep, you have. I think a positive is Odeyabushi in the fifth round. That's a positive to me. I think that Tommy Bohannon in the seventh round is a positive. I think it's a positive that you traded a fourth round for Chris Ivory. I think it's a positive that you traded a sixth for Harvin. Decker's obviously.
I think you're reaching.
Wait,
you started with Abushi.
let me. Okay, then you have Decker, which is obviously a good signing. Chris Johnson at the time we all thought was going to be a good signing. Obviously, he's been a major disappointment to as of right now. But Jason Morrow is playing pretty good, and I contrary to a lot of other people's beliefs, I think that Pryor could be good. I just don't think that he's being used in the right way. I don't think that he's supposed to be in the back center of the field. I feel like he should be more of a strong safety. So there is a little bit of positives. I think that his first year here, when he was $30 million over the cap, I think his hands were tied a little bit, so he had to make most of those moves that he did.
They had a better season.
Oh yeah, they definitely had a better season, but there's no way that you could tell me right now that our roster last year is better than this year. I know we're 1-7, but there's no way that you could possibly tell me.
I think so. Defensively, I definitely think our roster was better last year. How about Antonio Cromartie having a big 2-interception game against the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yep.
How many Jet fans were sitting there going, well, remember, he's got bad hips and he got burned every play last year, and he's this and he's that. Meanwhile, he's on a first-place team with a multi-game interception again as we watch Salim Hakeem track down Sammy Watkins. Way to go, Mr. General Manager. I mean, it's a joke. Last year, you had Milner, you had Cromartie, you had Wilson back there. You had decent cornerbacks that competed. This year, you have no corners that are even competing out there. It's embarrassing. You have no secondary.
Oh, yeah.
It's a joke. We knew we were going to talk about this all year long, you know?
yeah, but other than the corner spot, I definitely agree with you that he has done a pretty poor job. But other than the corner spot, I think that we have maintained or upgraded slightly. But it's not even the defense that I'm worried about right now. We're the sixth overall defense, so it's not even the defense. I understand the whole corner thing, and we are very lucky that we have Rex Ryan as a defensive coordinator, because right now if we had a defensive coordinator, we'd be a bottom 10 defense in the league right now, just because based on our secondary. I know how good our front seven is when you have guys obviously like Wilkerson, like Harrison, when you have guys like Sheldon. It's obviously positive, and not even to mention you have guys like DeMario Davis, who's really stepping up this year, even though we're 1-7. David Harris is having another good year. And then you have a guy like Copels, who we didn't mention, but Copels had a good game last game. He had eight tackles and a sack and a half.
All fine and dandy. But
Brandon, it's the offense. It's how awful our offense is. And I understand it's the offensive line, too. The offensive line is
– It comes down to the quarterback position. It's what it comes down to. I mean, you can't – it's just so – this league, if you don't have a top 10, top 15 quarterback, you're not going anywhere. And it's just – and they don't have – their quarterbacks are turnover machines. They're not – they're not generals on the field. They're not leaders in the locker room. I mean, you know what was so alarming to me was they asked Geno Smith, you know, what he thought about being benched. What was your reaction to it? Oh, I didn't really have any reaction to it. I mean, there's worse things that have happened to me in my life, and I just went on with my day. I mean,
that pissed me off.
What type of competitor is that?
Exactly. The guy should come out and say, you know what, I'm fired up. I'm going to come out. I'm going to work harder than ever. I'm going to prove to New York that I deserve this job. But obviously he didn't say that. He seems like he doesn't really care too much. And then we're talking about the defense and how good it is. But I forgot to mention that we have a league worst turnover margin, which is we're negative 15 right now. And since Rex Ryan has been here,
talent in the secondary.
I know.
Who's picking the ball off? You're going to bring Deion Sanders out of NFL Network?
Oh yeah, but obviously I understand this year. But it's not just this year. It's since Rex Ryan has been here, we've been minus 36, which is awful. And only the Raiders are worse with negative 42. So it's not just this year. Our defense has always been good, even this year and last year. Our defense has definitely been solid. But I'd rather have a defense in the middle of the pack who's creating turnovers than a defense who's number one in yards, because the turnovers are hurting us. When you can't get the ball back and give it to our offense a couple extra times,
it to the offense. Yeah, but that's a give and take. I'm not looking. This year has been bad, but I'm not going to go overall and say they have the turnovers. Hey, this year has been worse with the turnovers because there's no talent. But I mean, I think the defense overall under Rex Ryan has been fantastic. It's been under duress with, you know, making stops under big moments of the game. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, this is a defense that's dominated football games. They give their offense so many opportunities. And, of course, they're going to be minus 36 in the turnover ratio because the offense is going to be plus 2 or 3 every game. I mean, it's been turnovers since the start, since Mark Sanchez, turnover machine. Geno Smith, turnover machine. Michael Vick, it's been a turnover machine since he got out of prison. It's just, it's a joke. It's an embarrassment. Yeah. There's no hope for the Jets' quarterback position right now. And that's the worst feeling.
It's just that Geno doesn't have an excuse right now. I know our offensive line is bad, but look at guys like who people call a game manager. Alex Smith is doing pretty good with a bad offensive line. You have Andrew Luck, who doesn't have a great offensive line. He's thriving. So you can't blame it on the offensive line, especially with some of the weapons we have. I know it's not great, but when you have Decker, when you have Ivory, when you have Jason Morrow, who's looked pretty good other than a couple drops he's had, and then you got Starving and Jeremy Curley, there's no excuses for Geno anymore. I honestly do. I feel bad for the 40-year-old, the 50-year-old fans who've been watching this for 40 years. I've only been a diehard Jets fan for about 10 years now, and I can't even stand it anymore, so I feel bad for him. I just don't know when this team is going to get a quarterback, and I don't know if it's our talent. I don't know if it's our talent evaluators that we can't draft a good quarterback or what we can't do, or if it's the people who we have training them after they come out of the draft. I don't know if we can't just develop a quarterback, because we do have a guy in Coach Lee who is actually supposed to be a quarterback guru, so I don't know if it's just the pressure of New York. I don't know what it is, but it seems like
it's
having bad quarterbacks and
the impatience of the front office, the impatience of the fans, the inconsistency on the field. It all and the that they're just not. There's just intangibles that you see that are just not there. I mean, look how Colt McCoy played last night against the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he played a pretty good game. Imagine
if
the Jets got quarterback
for Colt McCoy over here, Brandon.
No, I'm not calling for Colt McCoy. I'm giving you an example of a quarterback that played good enough to win last night. I mean, that is. I'm not going to call for the Jets to trade for Colt McCoy. I've heard Johnny Manziel's name get thrown around a little bit. I mean, it's like you can bring up anything you want. It's a matter of the Jets need a quarterback who's competent, who's going to, you don't even want to say like a field general. You need somebody who's going to go out there, who's going to say when this guy step backs and throws the ball, you feel confident. You feel confident as a team, you feel confident as a fan base, and you feel confident as an organization. And I don't think we've seen that till shades of Chad Pennington before he got hurt and the early days of Vinny Testaverde and then go back to Joe Namath. I mean,
It doesn't have to be a guy like Cam Newton or like Kaepernick or like Andrew Luck. It has to be a guy, like I said before, an Alex Smith. Because can you imagine if we had a quarterback who would go a steady, maybe a touchdown or two a game with even two touchdowns and a pick a game? I would sign up for that any day of the week. We don't need a huge superstar here. We need a guy who is middle of the pack. I don't care if he's a game manager. I don't care if he throws for only 200 to 250 yards a game.
Well, that's Rex Ryan. If they don't keep Rex Ryan, you're gonna need to go get Peyton Manning. You might need a Peyton Manning to come in here and play because how bad your defense gonna be? That's why I don't think they'll get rid of Rex. Is because they need to keep one part of this team solid. And if you're getting rid of Rex, you're gonna bring in somebody who might be an offensive type guy. Well, then the wheels are gonna fall off for a couple of years because nobody's gonna come in here and be able to have these guys play with the talent that they are right now, and the defense looks the way they are, other than Rex Ryan. And that's why I think it'd be a joke if he gets fired, because I don't think it's warranted. I really don't. I don't think he, as a head coach, was given an opportunity to succeed this year, and obviously the quarterback is not who they thought they were, and it's just
no doubt about it. I also don't think that we're that far away on defense. I think if we could draft a corner or pick up a corner or two, and maybe a safety who's not a strong safety and who actually play free safety. Other than that though, I really don't see any holes in the defense. So I think our defense could step up if another coach came in here. But at some point, you do have to blame Rex Ryan for things like Michael Vick not coming out ready, for things like Geno not showing up to meetings and then starting the next game at San Diego.
Of course.
So there's definitely things you can blame Rex for. the inconsistency of the team, like last year, how he went one win, one loss. So there's definitely things that are negative about Rex Ryan. But the problem is, Brandon, that if you have to do something after this year. If you go into this offseason, we go through the draft and we go through free agency, and it's going the same way, and you don't fire Rex or a guy like Isaac, or hopefully a guy I'm hoping for, a guy like Sondre Lyle, because we haven't developed a wide receiver other than Curley in years and years. But if you don't fire one of these guys, then Jets fans are going to be furious. They're not going to show up to games, and they're going to start hating their team. They're going to start hating the whole entire franchise. I don't think Woody Johnson is in a position where he could lose more fans. So if you don't get rid of Rex, you're going to get rid of Sean Isaac after a year and a half.
I don't know. It's just, it all depends on how this year is. There's a lot of football left to play this year. So, I mean, it all depends on how the year shakes out. It all depends on how the Jets record shakes out. And I don't know. I mean, is there even a possibility that nobody gets fired and they go into it and they give it another, they take another stab at it, and you take all the money that you have for next year and you put together a better product by spending money rather than waiting for it to come through the draft? I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how the Jets handle from here. We're going to take a quick break here on Jet Nation Radio. When we come back, we'll talk more John Idzik, we'll talk more press conference, and we'll pick the games of this week, and we'll look ahead to the Kansas City game, the Jets 9.5-point underdogs on the road at the Chiefs. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio. Look,
if you had one shot, one opportunity, seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, did you capture it?
Yo. Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media.
Media.
From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
Back here on Jet Nation Radio. So we go back into the John Idzik press conference, and it's amazing, everybody's sounding off on JetNation.com right now on the forums. I mean, you just you took the vibe away again that you're listening to a general manager address his fans, address the media, address everybody as if, you know, we're going to keep fighting and, you know, we feel like we have the talent here and, you know, we just need to make it consistent. The only thing that's been consistent for the Jets this year is losing. That's it. You can't even tell me that you've been, you know, you've done some things well. That's fine. But I wanted to hear, and some people say, well, what do you want him to say? What I want John Idzik to come out and say is, first off, I love the way Rex Ryan came out after the San Diego game. You know what Rex Ryan did? He came out and he said, I want to apologize to my fans. I want to apologize, to apologize to the Jet fans if there are any left. That's what makes you sit there and go, Rex Ryan gets it. He gets it. He knows what it's all about to be a coach. He knows what it's about to be a coach of the Jets and how much people care and how much the fans care. John Idzik came out and almost insults your intelligence. That's the feeling I got when I was watching that interview. You know, he's insulting my intelligence by telling me that he believes in the players. Nobody believes in the players. Nobody believes in what they have here. I mean, it's like you're coming out and you're shoving this competition and this, well, you know, we're going to evaluate players and what it means. What do you think it means to be a, you know, we want to bring in guys that we think it means to be a Jet. What does that mean? You haven't done anything to show that to us. The press conference was the big highlight right now for the Jets and for the fans to talk about. Because, it brings you so much uncertainty. You don't want to commit to anything. We're worried about the Kansas City Chiefs. That's fine. That's great. But, again, tell us something. Come out and tell us what I want you to say is I want you to say I apologize for this start. I didn't put the proper pieces together. I didn't put the proper players on the field. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I don't think right now. As this team stands, I don't think this team is capable of playing at a high level. Something along to those lines. I mean, give us a little bit of the feeling that you're disappointed in what you put on the field. Not, I believe in these guys. We're going to battle. We're going to try and find some consistency. How about you win a game, John? Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I think he has to start calling some people out. I think he has to get off the positive vibe. I think he has to start calling out. Maybe not to the media, but behind the scenes, guys like Breno Giacomini, who played terribly last game. I think he should call out behind the scenes guys like Antonio Allen, who let up 2 touchdowns for the second straight week. I think the whole play like a Jet thing should be changed to play like a Bronco or play like a Patriot, because the whole play like a Jet thing is just not working. I think that we showed. The Jets showed a lot of what playing like a Jet was last game. You have Geno having a 0.04 passer rating, which would be below the legal limit to drive. So you'd be able to drive if you had that blood alcohol level, which is terrible to have 0.04 out of 100 passer rating. There's just so many problems with this team, and a lot of it was shown last game. You have guys like Pryor playing free safety when we all know that out of Louisville, he was supposed to be a strong safety, in the box safety. There's so many negatives. I can't even begin to talk about it. But like I said about Antonio Allen before, I found an interesting stat online that in the last 5 weeks, the QBRs against him have been 149, 143, 100, 143 again, and then 158. So I think, like you said before, I'm very much caught in the middle of whether who to fire, because I think that you do have to, I know that John Idzik has definitely underachieved, but I think you have to give a guy a little bit more time than that, and you have to see what he will do with that $50 million in cap space. And then I'm also caught in the middle with firing a guy like Rex Ryan, because we love the defense, and defense is definitely one of my favorite parts of the games. But when you have an abysmal offense like we've had for many years,
but you could talk about an abysmal offense. But when are you going to put a competent quarterback at the helm to give this guy's full team a shot? When are you going to do that? When is Rex Ryan going to get a quarterback that can play half decent in the National Football League? Can you? I think there's a good chance that the head coach and the general manager don't get fired after this year. I do. I think that there might be an opportunity where, you know, Woody Johnson is, because Woody Johnson, at the end of the day, Woody Johnson loves Rex Ryan, loves what he's all about, loves the attitude he brings to this team, loves the attitude he brought to this team when he first hired him. It would be like losing a pet if Woody Johnson has to fire Rex Ryan to him. That's what Rex Ryan has in his back pocket. I really think there's an opportunity. Unless the Jets go 1-15 and they don't win a game for the rest of the year, then I think everybody goes. But, I mean, I think there's a good chance that you might see both John Idzik and Rex Ryan back next year. And what you might see, another offensive coordinator getting fired and a new quarterback being brought in, where, you know, you're firing the quarterback's coach, the offensive coordinator, the receiver's coach. What they did, you know, after when they brought John Idzik here, you know, they fired basically almost all the offensive staff and brought in all new guys. Maybe you see that happen. You know, I think that's a potential to just see an offensive staff house cleaning, and then keep your head coach and your general manager. I mean, that's very possible. But let's go to Zach here, who wants to talk about the Jets' record. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, guys, what's going on? Very disappointing how, you know, their season, you know, just isn't, you know, going to happen, and not, you know, it's not coming along. And, you know, you see with, you know, the performance of Geno, you know, how he just continues to make the same rookie mistakes. You know, right when they drafted him, you know, everyone was very high on him, what he can do for this team, you know, but, you know, he hasn't shown any sign of, you know, that he's going to be the team's, you know, future quarterback. You know, the fault obviously has to go on John Idzik and Rex Ryan, even though, you know, many shouldn't be blaming everything on Rex. You know, still, you know, this team, you know, even if they even try to compete, you know, there's no chance, you know, really that they'll probably make the playoffs at this point. But, you know, if you take a good hard look, you know, you really can't blame, you know, Rex Ryan for this. He was put in this position, you know, with the talent and all the pieces, you know, he had. But, you know, just very disappointing season. And, hopefully, maybe they can, you know, maybe turn it around and maybe, you know, actually, you know, make some games actually, you know, very close. But, yeah, it's a very, you know, disappointing season as a Jets fan.
Absolutely. I think you're right on to it. I think it's so disappointing. I stand by Rex Ryan as the head coach of this team, in my opinion, because I don't think that he's been given the proper tools to get, you know, to get this team going. I just think that it was put together poorly. The product on the field stinks. You got wide receivers, special team kick returners / wide receivers chasing down wide receivers. You got no depth on defense, and they're still playing their tails off, and they're in the top 10 in defense. I mean, altogether, it's a team that was given this year that had no chance to succeed. The quarterback position is a disaster. Until Rex Ryan gets a quarterback that is somewhat competent, like an Alex Smith, like a Russell Wilson, a guy who doesn't turn the football over, you don't know what he could bring to the table. And it's a shame, because I think he has so much and has brought so much here, but you don't know unless he has somebody at the helm leading that offense who makes you feel comfortable and doesn't shoot himself in the foot more than help the team win. That's the problem.
Yeah, Brandon, I definitely agree with you, but like you said before, that you don't think that Idzik and Rex would be fired. I definitely lean more towards Marty, Rex, and Idzik getting fired, if none at all, because I just think that Woody loves his fans and loves his money more than he loves Rex Ryan, and I think that if we keep going down the way that we're going down now, that that the fans will rebel. They're going to start not going to games. They're going to start not buying jerseys, and his team will be even more of a joke as it is right now.
I don't think anybody's going to rebel if they keep Rex Ryan. I think the majority loves Rex Ryan. I think the majority, if you took a poll between Jet fans right now, I don't think anybody's going to stop buying tickets and stop buying jerseys if Rex Ryan's the head coach of his team next year. I think everybody wants to point their finger at the top and start with the owner and work their way to the general manager. I think majority of Jet fans, I think they feel bad for Rex, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I completely agree with you, what you said before, that I definitely would like to see what our defense and even our offense could be if we had a guy like an Alex Smith, or even if we stepped it up a little bit and got a guy like Kaepernick, who I don't think is great, but he's definitely solid, or a guy like Flacco or a guy like Matt Ryan. I definitely would want to see what this team would look like, because I know our defense would definitely be top five, because our defense wouldn't be starting out at their own 45 every single time. So I definitely do feel bad that Rex has inherited guys like Sanchez and like Geno. It's hard. It's definitely a sticky situation, because we're definitely going to miss the playoffs this year, and to miss the playoffs 4 years in a row and then not get fired, it's definitely a sticky situation. But I do agree with you. I do want to see Rex back. I want to see what he could do if he did have a competent offensive coordinator, because you know, Brandon, that this entire season I've been on Marty Morningwagon, the offense he's calling, and as soon as Geno threw two picks last game, and then he goes back out and decides to run two pass plays in a row instead of feeding the rock to a guy like Ivory, who's been pretty good this entire season, it baffles my mind. I have no idea, with some of his play calling, you're taking a guy like Jason Morrow, who's supposed to be a vertical threat, and running short routes with him, and then you're taking a guy like Chris Johnson, who's supposed to be able to bust the outside run, and you're running him up the middle. So I agree with you. I think that if one of these three gets fired, I definitely want it to be Marty Morningwig. So it's just a very hard situation right now, and I think if the Jets win, you know, six or five out of these last eight games, which I doubt highly, I think that Rex Ryan could be back. But as of right now, I'm definitely leaning towards that he gets fired.
I think you have to be, which is a shame, because again, I think that the move that you might be forced to make if you're sitting here at 1-7 is obviously everybody goes and you start from scratch and you build it up again. I mean, that's just the direction that a 1-7 football team has to think right now. But again, lots of football left to play, lots of games left to determine what's going to happen here. We're sitting here talking like about this show like it's an off-season show. It's amazing. We're sitting here a week. We're going into
almost
the halfway point. You know, it's a joke. It's so disappointing. And you could tell the vibe around every Jet fan right now is so bad. You know, even, you know, people some people don't even want to talk about it. Just moving on to the different sport, different team, and, you know, get on with their lives. But let's go on to our Jet Nation Radio picks of the week. And, Joe, how did we do last week?
We did terrible, Brandon. I went 2-3 to bring my record to 24-15, and you also went 2-3, and now you're 20-19. So you are one loss, or you're another 2-3 a week away from being just at even, which is pretty bad. So I'm hoping that you're peeking out my notebook a little bit this week, so you can start to get back into the game here.
I think I'm gonna have a good week here. I mean, my worst pick was going with Chicago,
Cincinnati
against New England.
Yep.
I would definitely. My worst pick there had to be Chicago. I thought it there, but I did say that they were either gonna win the game or get blown out. So I got one of them right. There's no point. You don't get a point for being 50% right unless you're John Idzik. So let's move forward here. And let's start with our first game, the Thursday nighter. Hey, New Orleans is back in the division hunt. They go to Carolina in a big Thursday night division battle. Who do you like and why, Joe?
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny to think that they're competing for the number one spot in the division when they're both 3-4. And actually, the Panthers are 3-4-1 because they had that tie. But the Saints look like they got a little bit more on track last week, beating the Packers 44-23. So I think the Saints come out this week and they beat the Panthers. They really showed me last week against the Packers what they could be, and Drew Brees started to look like Drew Brees. So I think that they go into Carolina and they take the division lead on the Panthers.
I don't think New Orleans has enough manpower to go on the road, win a football game at Carolina. They're a different team outside of the Superdome. They're a different team outside of New Orleans. They've been that way since Drew Brees and Sean Payton have been there. Just go take a look at their road records. I am going to go with the Panthers at home. They solidify themselves in this division right now, especially coming off a bad loss to Seattle where they could have had that football game. Arizona goes into Big D. Arizona might be the biggest surprise of the year. They go into Dallas. Dallas coming off a disappointing loss. Do the Cowboys rebound, or do the Cardinals keep rolling over the AFC, the NFC East?
I'm going to take the Cardinals in this one. I thought the Cowboys last week against Washington started to fall a little bit back down to earth. I don't think that they're as good of a football team as they've shown in the first couple of weeks. So I'm going to take the Cardinals in this one. They definitely have been the biggest surprise of this season so far. Their roster isn't stacked, and especially when you lose a guy like Washington, who is the commander of your defense. I thought they're going to struggle a little bit this year, but they've been solid. They've been coached up by Bruce Arians, who in my opinion is one of the best coaches in the NFL, and he's showing why right now. So I'm going to take the Cardinals going into Dallas, and I'm going to take them actually in a blowout win. I think that the Cowboys are really going to hurt after last week, and I think that I just think that they're falling back down to earth now, and all the Cowboys haters can come out from their holes.
I think you are 150% wrong.
Wrong.
I think Dallas comes out with a big time win at home. I think they came out flat on Monday night. I thought they were due for a loss. I thought they were due for a dud on national television. Everybody was waiting for them to have that moment. I think if Tony Romo's healthy for that entire game, I think Dallas wins that football game. I thought that, you know, him going down and the Redskins taking advantage of that was great on their part. But I think that if Romo's healthy in this game, is it possible that I can make a, since the show is on Tuesday, is in our rule book, is it possible that I can go with the Cardinals if Romo gets scratched, or the Cowboys if Romo plays? Is that allowed?
I guess
All
we
right.
can do that.
So we're
going to
go, I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I am going to go with the Cowboys with a stipulation that Tony Romo is the starting quarterback on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Dallas. Next game, huge 4-25 matchup, maybe the biggest game of the year up to this point. New England is rolling, Denver's rolling in Foxborough, Manning versus Brady, number 350. Who wins and why?
Yeah, this is going to be a very exciting game, Brandon. This might be the last time we see Peyton Manning versus Brady.
We've been saying that since I learned how to write cursive, but go ahead.
I think the Broncos are still mad about last year when in overtime Bill Belichick decided to defer, and then the Broncos are about to get the Patriots punt the ball, and then you get a guy like Wes Welker fumble it, and then the Patriots get the ball back and kick a field goal to win it. So I think the Broncos are still pissed off about last year. I think they're going to come into New England, and I think they're going to beat the Patriots. And I think it's going to be a great close game, but I'm going to take Peyton Manning. I think he's been amazing this year. He's had one of his best years so far. And I just don't like the Patriots, so I'm going to take the Broncos in this one.
I think Denver's going to win as well. I think Peyton Manning is finally playing in a game where he has something to prove. He always wants to beat Tom Brady. Every time these guys play against each other, they're always critical of one another. Who's better? Who's this? Who's that? Peyton Manning, I don't think Peyton Manning has had that competitional challenge yet where he, you know, puts that Peyton Manning look on his face, especially during the regular season. I like Peyton Manning going into New England. Our last game here, Baltimore goes into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is back in the mix here in the AFC. Who do you like in this one and why?
I'm gonna take the Steelers on this one, mostly because last week I picked the Ravens to beat the Bengals and they lost. But another reason is that Ben Roethlisberger definitely played one of his best games in a couple of years, getting 6 touchdowns last week, beating the Colts in handily fashion. They scored 51 points, so they looked like a really good team. Ben Roethlisberger looked like he did 5 years ago. I think they're going to ride that hot streak a little bit. They haven't been impressive this year, so I think they're going to want to prove to their home fans that they're a playoff team, and I think they're going to come out and beat the Ravens at home.
I agree with you. I think Pittsburgh's going to do well. I think they're, you know, Baltimore, you know, it just is not going to have the manpower to go in there on Sunday Night Football against the hot Steelers team, who just wants to keep rolling because they need to keep winning to keep their record up with the top teams in the AFC to get back in that mix. All right, Joe. We now look at the 1-7. Who go into Kansas City, 9.5-point underdogs. Michael Vick, the starting quarterback. That just, you know, that right there, right as that rolls off my tongue, makes you just have that type of feel. And so the Jets go into Kansas City. Idzik with his State of the Union press conference. Rex Ryan pissed off and feeling defeated after the post game. Who wins this game and why?
I said it before last week or a couple weeks ago that I'm not going to pick the Jets unless they prove something to me, and I'm going to stay on that. I don't think I'm going to pick the Jets the rest of the year until they win another game. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think that Andy Reid is going to have Michael Vick's number. He's going to figure out how to stop him. I think that Justin Houston.
It's not hard.
Yeah, exactly. Justin Houston, who has 10 sacks already this season, he's playing amazing. I think that him and Holly are going to have a field day against Michael Vick and this offensive line who's been playing awful. So I'm gonna take the Chiefs in this one, 27-17. And unless Michael Vick can come out and provide some kind of spark and our offensive line actually blocks and maybe we get a turnover, I don't see any way that we're going to go into one of the most hostile stadiums in the whole entire NFL and beat a team like this.
Nope. I think this, you're looking at a 35-17 type football game. I think Michael Vick is a turnover machine. I think he will be good for about three or four of them this coming week against that Chiefs defense on the road. I think the Jets will be looking for answers again after this week for who to put at the quarterback position. I even think Michael Vick, you know, playing a full game from start to finish, good chance he gets injured. I just find it amazing how they wouldn't activate Matt Sims and put him on the active roster to give him a chance to even be, you know, able to come off the bench and play in the football game on Sunday. How could he possibly play any worse than these two quarterbacks? I don't think the Jets have any shot of winning this football game this week. I don't think they match up with the Chiefs. I think every team that plays the Jets week in and week out is licking their chops, saying we got ourselves a free week. We get to play an incapable football team of putting together a game plan that could even come close to winning. So, with that being said, 35-17, Kansas City wins. We sit here next Tuesday, talk about the same thing. Who gets fired? Looking for answers. Turnovers on the offensive side of the ball. The defense giving up big plays in the secondary. And that is your 2014 New York in a nutshell. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and remember, all this awesome, fun, positive New York Jets talk doesn't stop here on Jet Nation Radio. It goes to JetNation.com all the time, 24/7. The forums are rolling. What did you think about John Idzik's press conference? Who do you think should be fired? Who do you blame? What's the biggest problem the New York Jets face today in this season? Sound off, JetNation.com forums. The football talk doesn't stop here. Take your water cooler office talk to JetNation.com. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.